Fáil chugadh your Irish connection with Laura O'Brien, providing your authentic connection to Ireland with a native voice on a mix of Irish mythology, Indigenous spirituality, archaeology, history, culture, society, storytelling, and travel around the island. Get more on www.lauraobrien.ie. That's LORAOBRIEN.ie. Chapter 1. The Morrigan in Mythological Tradition. Our inquiry as to whether the Morrigan is indeed a war goddess starts with her role in what the chapter title calls, for the sake of convenience, the mythological tradition. The term is misleading, for all the literature and lore of the Morrigan is in some sense mythological, since all of it embodies the worldview of early Irish society and concerns the relationship between this world and the other world. This chapter is concerned with evidence which should give us the most essential information about the Morrigan. The literature consulted in this chapter, then, is where we might hope to find a description of the Morrigan, both of what she is and what she does. This chapter will concern not only the literature of the mythological cycle, but also what the medieval Irish literati had to say about the Morrigan in non-narrative contexts. By nature, the glosses serve as a precis of the medieval Irish understanding of the Morrigan, since it is the nature of glosses to supply the most basic information about their subjects. In the glossaries, the Morrigan goes under a number of names. The appearances of these names in genealogical passages from Ban Chienicus and Leabhar Gabala allow us to link these names together and show that they are all aspects of the same figure. The etymologies of these names can give us clues to a very old level of understanding about them, one presumably no longer available to the medieval Irish. Finally, narrative texts from the mythological cycle will show us the Morrigan in action, allowing us to construct a model of how the Morrigan functions within the literature, a model that the later chapters will flesh out. The Morrigan in the glosses and glossaries. By their nature, glossaries give their information in tidbits. It is only by examining them one by one that we can fill in our picture of the Morrigan. Here, rather than approaching this body of literature text by text, I will explore the glosses and the glossaries name by name in order to see what they have to tell us about each of these personae of the Morrigan. The first appearance of the name or term Morrigan in all of Irish literature occurs in the manuscript Regina number 215 in a gloss of Isaiah 34:14, a passage which recounts the desolation of Edom. Lamia is there glossed monstrum in femine figura, i.e. Morrigan, translation, monster in female form, that is, a Morrigan, end translation. The codex was written in 876 or 877 Common Era. On folios 88-106, it contains a glossary to the books of the Old Testament, and the Old Irish glosses are found in this section. Lamia is a word associated with a diverse tradition of female monsters in Greek and Roman lore. Like the Morrigan, she appears sometimes singly and sometimes as a group. As a child-killing monster, her appearance was much like that of the sirens and the harpies, birds with a human head. In early texts, Lamia is sometimes considered the mother of Scylla. In later times, however, the Lamiae were depicted as phantoms in the form of lovely women who seduce men in order to eat their flesh and drink their blood. The only possible evidence of their cult is found in Britain. This gloss from Regina number 215 belongs to a long tradition of biblical commentary. The Hebrew word translated as Lamia in the Vulgate and screech owl in the KJV is Lilith, a word mentioned only once in the Old Testament, hence provoking much discussion. Like the Lamia, Lilith is a female demon of the night who devours children. In the Talmud and the Midrash, she appears as a winged creature with long flowing hair, an appearance once again reminiscent of the Lamia. Lilith also appears in numerous more ancient Semitic texts, and the Hebrew word itself is probably derived from the Akkadian lily, a type of demoness. This first appearance of the Morrigan, whether the common noun or the name is intended, tells us that, like Lamia and her precursor, the Morrigan was, in the 9th century, a monster in female form. Another gloss in which the Morrigan appears, this time in Cormac's glossary, also uses the term to denote a class of malign supernatural beings. The quote is, Gudamon, i.e. Uaha, agus Morrigné. So it translates as Gudamon, i.e. horrors, and Morrigné. Uaha is easily understood as the plural of Uath, a horrible or terrible thing. Gudamon remains opaque, but the malign nature of the beings in question is clear. The same word, albeit spelled differently, is the subject of a gloss in Trinity manuscript H318, in which the glossator analyzes the term first as a compound of gu, meaning false or lying, plus demon, then gu, meaning voice or sound, plus m, meaning double. There's a quote in Irish, Old Irish, and then Stokes's translation is, Gudamon, i.e. hooded crows, or women from the Sidhe, lying wolves, that is, the false demons, the Morrigné, or falsehood, so that they, bracket, the Banshee and the hooded crows, end bracket, are not demons. Falsehood, so that they are not demons of hell, but demons of the air. They double the cries of the foxes, and they double the voices of the hooded crows. End translation. Regardless of the folk etymologies that underlie it, this gloss confirms and sharpens the impression given by the first two. The Morrigné are clearly demonic, and more specifically, demons of the air rather than of hell. Further, it is clear that a Morrigan is a member of a specific class of malign beings. This was an imperfect reading for accessibility purposes from War Goddess, the Morrigan and her Germano-Celtic counterparts, a dissertation by Angelique Gulermovich Epstein, read by me, Laura O'Brien. And you can find more like this at www.lauraobrien.ie. Sláinte.